This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and it's time now for another Parliament Roundup. Tasha Fusil joins us in the studio as always. So what made news in Dewan Rakyat today?
So the perennial issue of lack of quorum came up again today. And this was because yesterday in Dewan Rakyat, there was a vote at about 9 o'clock in the evening for the Supply Bill 2020 for the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry, an important bill. And the bill passed by a very, very narrow margin. 32 MPs were in favour versus 28 opposition lawmakers who voted against it. So, you know, this is a question that most ministers were getting, most MPs were getting asked today. So PKR Chief Whip Johari Abdul came out to say that the poor attendance was down to MPs experiencing parliament fatigue.
Kita balik lewat, selalunya pukul 10:30. So by the time you sampai rumah pukul 12, you mandi-mandi tidur pukul 1. Then you say hi to your wife pukul 1:30. Then you wake up, sometimes you're a bit late to the morning session. So probably kita kena bincang dengan speaker balik untuk lihat bagaimanakah ahli parlimen boleh mempunyai quality time lah. Sekarang ni agak fatigue. I mean, you look at me. I'm the first probably to be here. I'm the last to leave the parliament. But I can't do it every day for another 3 years, even though I'm 40 years old today. So, you know, there's a limit to everything. But never mind. Let me sort out with speaker so that we should have a better time. And we want quality time for our MPs.
And with regards to the narrow victory, he says that he was really very aware that the opposition was going to try and ambush that vote.
This is exactly what we did to BN last time, remember? We always ambushed them also. I mean, so they did same number on us now. But this time around, we are alert of what's going on. And I know that they choose Kementerian Wanita because that is within the purview of TPM. And when I saw some unfamiliar faces around, the BN MPs will never stay back. I know something's going on. So I'm quite ready on that. See? So thank God, I know we win.
For Muhammad Hanif Maidin, the Sepang MP, his sort of a reasoning, I guess, for the low turnout was because it gets cold in the chambers.
If you become MP, you know, it's not easy for us to stay there for a long time. You know, it's very cold sometimes. You know, it's just normal. I think everywhere, you know, in the world, you cannot expect MPs to sit there all the time, you know. So for me, it's more mental. It's okay.
So that was Muhammad Hanif Maidin offering his explanation for low MP turnout in Parliament. And so not to conflate everything, right? Yeah. I think there were a couple of separate thoughts that we heard from different people just then.
Yeah, I think first of all, to the Sepang MP, perhaps just consider getting a thicker jacket. I think that might be a good way to start to be able to stay much longer, or bring a thermos with a very warm drink in it. on that note about being tired as an MP, I think that is actually of value and that's worth addressing and worth talking about, because you want our MPs to be at their best when they're coming up with policies, at their peak performance, right, when they're talking about national issues. So perhaps there is something to it. Perhaps there are inefficiencies that Parliament itself needs to address, and they need some sort of reform to make it easier for policymaking, or at least less tiring.
Well, parliamentary reform has been something that's been discussed, thrown about, you know, set as something that needs to become a priority and that it perhaps isn't right now. So I do think that there is a need to look into this, especially towards the tail end, right? Mm-hmm. Because I remember there being a discussion about how, okay, we're going to try and push something through. It's slipping my mind now exactly what that was, but it was an important bill. And it's like, we're going to try and push it through, but we have to see what happens because there's a lot of different things that come up on the docket. And, you know, who is to say what we're going to manage to talk about before the end of this particular parliamentary sitting. So we want it to be efficient, but you also want people to be able to be sharp, right? And if they are tired out, if you are leaving at 10 every day, if you're the last person to leave, that is eventually, you know, going to mess with you. So yeah, I think that's something that we'll probably be exploring on the show sometime this week or next, this idea of how Parliament can perhaps be reformed. If you have ideas, share them with us. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Tasha, I also heard there was a bit of a commotion in the Dewan Rakyat today about the ashes of Communist Party of Malaya leader Chin Peng being returned to Malaysia. What happened?
Yeah, so there was a spat and that happened during a debate on the Defence Ministry's allocation. The topic of communism came up and Padang Sari MP Karupaya Muthusami tried to explain the presence of communism in the country before, which I guess wasn't very well received by opposition members.
Perlu kita tahu, komunis ini bukan dia datang untuk sengaja. Komunis ini diwujudkan semasa Perang Jepun. Mereka menentang Jepun. Lepas menentang Jepun, apabila Jepun dah serah diri, mereka diteruskan untuk menentang dengan British. Itu cara dia datang. Bukan dia orang datang untuk hantam kita, tapi mereka datang untuk defend kita dahulu.
Halo, bila dah British balik, kenapa mereka masih lagi menggunakan kekerasan, menyerang tentera-tentera Malaysia yang ada sovereign, yang ada kedaulatan, termasuk you? Termasuk Padang Serai yang menjadi tentera. Sepatutnya letak je senjata, kita bersama membina negara. Kenapa membunuh tentera-tentera?
Datuk Shamsul Anwar Nasara, the Lenggong MP, also asked Karupaya if he was okay with Chin Peng's ashes being brought back to the country.
Okay, pandangan saya, abu itu tidak ada masalah pada kita. Benda itu dah habis dah. Kalau kita bawa pun tak mana pada kita. Sebab kita sebagai rakyat Malaysia, kita hormati walaupun dia musuh, kita bagi kehormatan. Sebab dia lahir di negara kita.
Padang Serai, ada kaitan.
Teruskan saya buka butiran.
Padang Serai tak sensitif ke? Berapa nyawa orang Serai sebagai askar pemerintah?
Saya ingin mengingatkan semua, ini adalah peringkat jawatan kuasa. Khusus kepada butiran. Ya, kalau nak dengar sejarah, kita cari forum lain. Ya, silakan. Butiran.
Yeah, I was about to say that this was getting to be a very, I am a historian, like there should be a separate segment in Parliament. But it is an important topic. I think every time the name Chin Peng has come up, there are always a lot of complicated emotions that accompany that. And in life as in death, I think it's just a continuation of the sort of narrative that we were hearing when Chin Peng was still alive.
Yeah, complicated emotions being given that it's also quite a complicated history. And I think, you know, both sides earlier in the debate, we've heard that there are differing thoughts on what that is. And I think it doesn't add that our history syllabus isn't necessarily as wholesome as it should be yet.
We will likely be covering this in more detail tomorrow, so stay tuned for that.
Yes, and Tasha, I also hear that Education Minister Mazli Malik was quite happy to deliver news on university rankings.
Yeah, so back in June, the QS World University Rankings listed University of Malaya in the top 70 best universities in the world compared to its 118th spot back in 2018. So today, Mazli was pretty happy to report UM's latest position in the Asia rankings.
Untuk kedudukan Asia, berdasarkan QS University Ranking, Asia 2020 yang dikeluarkan pada hari ini, masih panas lagi, pada 27 November 2019, kedudukan Universiti Melaya buat pertama kalinya di dalam sejarah kita adalah di tangga pertama di Malaysia dan ke-13 di Asia. Berbanding dengan kedudukan 24 pada tahun 2018.
So there was a follow-up question by Bagan Sari MP Datuk Nur Azmi, who was wondering, as we all may have at some point, what the positive knock-on effect is of climbing these world rankings and whether we actually have to shell out money in order to get a good footing in these rankings. Mazli says that the government isn't in the business of chasing rankings, and he asked for us to look at some of the other accolades that reflect a more like sort of holistic type of achievement.
Kita tidak akan terikut-ikut dengan sikap mengejar ranking sehingga menggadaikan integriti, mengeluarkan duit dan sebagainya, akhirnya ranking yang dikejar itu tidak menggambarkan apa yang sebenarnya berlaku di universiti kita. Kita mahu melahirkan universiti-universiti awam kita, pertama, yang berdaya saing di peringkat global, dan yang kedua, menjadi penjana kepada penghasilan para intelek dan cendekiawan yang boleh menyelesaikan masalah masyarakat. Izinkan saya menyebut, bukan sekadar ranking yang diberikan berdasarkan pencapaian yang ditentukan oleh QS, Times dan lain-lain. Universiti awam kita juga, sebagai contoh, UPM, menduduki tempat ke-13 di dalam Green Campus. Ranking untuk kelestarian dan juga environment friendly. Begitu juga dengan Universiti UPM dan juga dengan Universiti UUM telah menduduki 100 teratas di dalam Green Index. Kita perlu melihat pencapaian universiti kita secara holistik dan bukan hanya kepada angka-angka yang akhirnya mengaburkan kita daripada peranan universiti yang sebenar.
So that was Education Minister Mazli Malik talking about not just university rankings, but other metrics, right, by which we might be able to look at how well or otherwise our universities are doing. And, you know, I'm always interested in this because I think there is an increasing skepticism when it comes to these sorts of lists.
Yeah.
In general, like the more official ones, such as the World University Rankings, as well as the 10 best whatevers, you know. Having said that, there is always an interest on where Malaysia sits. We say we don't care, but then we still look at it and mm-hmm. we still churn headlines out of it. So I guess I'd like to know whether this is something that you guys actually pay attention to. I mean, is it a source of pride or otherwise when you see us make these lists? Does it matter to you? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to wrap things up, let's meet an MP.
Who is in the MP hot seat today?
So today we're going to get to know the constituency of the PAS Vice President.
Pertama sekali saya Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man daripada Parlimen Kubang Krian. Kali pertama saya jadi ahli Parlimen di Kubang Krian. Dan Kubang Krian ini terletak dalam pinggir bandar Kota Baru. Isu besar yang dihadapi di peringkat Parlimen Kubang Krian ada, saya tengok ada tiga isu utama lah. Yang pertama isu kemudahan infra, khusus jalan raya lah. Kita tahu kesakan Kota Baru Kelantan ni memang salah jam jalan raya, dan kita minta supaya kerajaan pertimbangkan soal untuk membina satu jejantas daripada depan USM Kubang Krian ke bulatan Kubang Krian. Yang kedua ialah isu soal banjir. Kelantan ni setiap musim terkujur banjir. Alhamdulillah baru ni dalam parlimen kerajaan dah bagi komitmen untuk membina satu empangan di hulu Sungai Kelantan yang kita harap boleh menampung isu banjir yang berlaku di Kelantan. Yang ketiga ialah soal kebajikan lah, kebajikan orang miskin yang kita perlu ambil perhatian. Dan insyaAllah pusat khidmat kita setiap operasi, dan saya ada pegawai, dan terima kasih kepada kerajaan negeri. Kerajaan negeri melantik 3 orang penghulu setiap parlimen untuk kata masalah-masalah di samping tanggungjawab yang diberi kepada adun-adun dalam Parlimen Kubang Krian. Mudah-mudahan khidmat yang saya mampu beri di Kubang Krian dapat saya laksanakan dengan penuh amanah, insyaAllah. Doa kepada Allah, semoga dapat melaksanakan tugas ini.
So that was Datuk Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, our MP of the day, talking about his constituency. If you have any thoughts to offer on university rankings or on MP burnout, talk to us, you know. Give us the solutions to the world, you guys. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have now on the line with us Timothy. Timothy, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this has been suggested by parliamentarian Wong Chen. I think that they should have published parliamentarian attendance mm-hmm. so that way then we can know whether, you know, the person you elected is very diligent or, you know, is basically just goofing off and not attending many sessions. So that would, you know, have accountability to your voters, as well as, you know, the press would be able to track. You know, I'm sure there'll be an NGO or someone who can then come out with analysis on whether your parliamentarians really do this job. Yeah, so I think that transparency would be good.
Timothy, I mean, I think that that's a really good point. But the other thing is, I'd like to know, I mean, from your point of view, do you want, aside from attendance, right, do you want your parliamentarians to kind of sit in parliament all day? Or do you think it's kind of part of the job to be able to go out, take meetings, do all those different things that happen within the parliament building, but not necessarily in the hall?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it depends on the scope. I mean, if they are minister, obviously there will be a lot of ministerial meetings, as well as if you're in certain select committees. I think there was a case where, you know, parliamentarians are in select committees, which is in another room,
yeah.
and then they have to be called back for a quorum vote. So I guess these are things that you can then put in your attendance and say, I'm at so-and-so, that's why I'm unable to attend. So obviously there are other pressing matters, but if you're constantly, you know, not there, then, you know, it'll probably raise some questions on, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, I think if you are, you can demonstrate that balance, then that would be acceptable.
Timothy, thank you so much for calling. More so what I'm hearing from that, aside from, I guess, the sheer idea of taking attendance, is also just more communication, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, having that Twitter thread the other day and reading through it and seeing all those things about where a parliamentarian might be, where an MP might be within the building, but not necessarily in the hall, was helpful. And I think being able to discern who is doing that versus who is literally not there because they could not be bothered, I think that's an important distinction to draw.
It is. And I guess if there's a way to sort of see what the parliamentarians are actually doing, right? Because I'm assuming if they have other roles, if you do end up spending the whole day in parliament, you maybe for one, you can't meet other stakeholders. You might not be able to meet the local council where your constituency is based. You might not even be able to meet your constituents, if especially during this long stretch of parliament time.
Jason says, you have to nudge politicians, deduct their salaries and their PR budget for not attending parliament. They deserve to be graded and measured by KPIs. I think that in line with Timothy's point, I guess, you know, kind of comes together, because you can't really do this if you don't have a clear idea of why it is that they're not there.
Yeah, especially if you want, if you are, you know, thinking about voting them again, you want to be able to track the progress that they've had over the years sitting in parliament. You know, one criticism, and I think that's why we've seen the new Tanjung Pi MP Wee-Jek Singh a lot more active in parliament, is because there was a criticism in the past during his sessions. He didn't quite contribute as much. He didn't ask many questions. Perhaps out of a year, he may have only asked one, essentially.
Chi Chung says MPs absent more than 30% should be fired, and which I think we've heard before, this idea that there has to be some form of punitive element attached to this. We also have this message here from Daniel, who says, even if there is implementation of video conferencing, the MPs still have to commit. It's not about the medium, it's more about commitment. Perhaps the government can think of ways to shorten the duration of the meeting and gain more quality of content. Of course, as a human being, it's difficult to commit to those long hours. We're not robots.
Yeah, that is a good point. And I think when you consider the fact that even at our own work, at our own offices, not just at BFM, but overall, we do struggle with meetings. You know, meetings aren't always the most productive. And I take it that sometimes that might be the case for Parliament as well.
That's exactly it. Reading that message aloud, I was thinking about all the meetings I've been stuck in the course of my life.
It's 4 meetings a week.
Yeah, so I get it. And especially those meetings where, what is it? There's that trope where this whole meeting could have been an email. I don't think Parliament is like that, but I think there are certainly days where it could be more productive, right? So maybe that's where we're coming from with this whole idea of reconfiguring. I don't know how it will be reconfigured, but it's pretty clear that it has to be. We also have Maggie coming back to weigh in.
Whatever reasons were cited, if there was discipline in being on time, being well prepared for the meeting presentation, civilized questions
civilized
and answers,
in all caps.
sessions would greatly reduce the stress for everyone. Time, energy and resource would not be wasted due to prolonged arguments stoked by rude remarks going back and forth. If companies can hold fruitful meetings, not a good sign that we can't do it at a national level. Also, please get that maintenance man in to fix the aircon system.
Yeah, exactly. Aircon is just, oh, what? There are no layers that can be added to your body to make you warmer? It makes no sense. Keep those thoughts coming. Again, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.